Hey, folks, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Well, it is here in Southern California, and that means it's another hour of the Andy and Amanda Show, live from the United States and the UK. Hey, grab your vodka, your tequila, your beer, whatever it might be, and enjoy. It's the Andy and Amanda program. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Really. You're so kind. Too kind. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Live, yes, we're here in the USA and the UK. Andy and Amanda, another week. It's the Monday show. Thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you may be seated. You may be seated.
Yes, you might. Thank you. Now you're all sitting down. We're here. We're here. We are connecting. The only show in the world that connects the United Kingdom and United States for a one-hour presentation of... We don't know because we never know what we're going to talk about next, but this is the Andy and Amanda Show. For those of you who follow the show, you know what we do. For those of you who are new to the show, we welcome you on board from all corners of the globe. And for those of you who can dial the show domestically, United States or North America, you can dial 1-515-605-9888. For those of you around the world who want to join the show, email andytheamandashow@gmail.com. I'm Andy Kimball. We have Amanda Love on board from the UK live. Hey, do we connect? Are we connected?
Amanda, you I'd like us? To think we are. Can you hear me?
Oh, we're very connected. That's another story.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Can we talk? You know what I mean? It ain't easy being me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We have with us also the person who introduced Amanda and I. And I'm so glad he did. I mean, my life has never been the same since. I think it's a good thing.
I know. I'm not so sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
That subject is still under investigation. Now, Cornell Butler, who actually put this thing together and created the Andy and Amanda Show, and I am Andy, and we have our Amanda in the UK. We're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, broski.
How's it, Amanda? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Bob, how about you?
Gosh, I'm doing great, man. I'm sitting here drinking me some Tito's vodka and orange juice, and it tastes delicious.
That is our recommended. That is our aside from Kona beer, which we'll talk about later. That is our recommended vodka brand. For those of you who have not tried Tito's vodka yet, we recommend. Given I know they have it at most liquor, Total Wine, most stores, Tito's Vodka. There are friends down in Texas, Tito's Vodka, folks. And if you haven't had it, there's an amazing difference between Tito's Vodka and other brands of vodka. And the only way to find out what I'm talking about, and that is to go try it. So Tito's Vodka, made here in the United States, in Texas, and it's really good. And when you look at the price of it, of a bottle of Tito's and the price of a generic brand, whatever it might be. It's maybe a couple of dollars more, but not more than that. You know, don't you think, Cornell?
Yeah.
Tito's vodka.
I've not tried it myself. I need to.
You have to try it. I bought a case.
You bought a case? Oh, you must really love it.
Yes, it's gone already.
My man.
Excellent.
Yes. Rock star life, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm kind of jealous that you sat there with an alcoholic drink right now. Like, I'm sat here with water, trying to be good, hydrated, you know?
Oh, no.
I was talking to somebody. I just met somebody, actually, of the opposite sex, actually, talking about Tito's over the weekend. And
I think she really believed me.
Oh?
I think she did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh?
Yeah.
That conversation went well, then.
None of the story of my life. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. No respect at all. None. Nothing.
Yeah, I can relate to that. It's okay. It's all right.
Would you rather practice or have natural talent? I said the best is both, right? But she's got a great natural talent. A great natural talent.
Yes, she does. Amanda Love. Amanda, what's going on in the UK?
Oh, stuff I wouldn't want to know about. Seriously, you know, you get so depressed.
These people are sick.
Yeah, that's been my opinions on several occasions, but, you know, I try to keep it on the down low. but, yeah, I mean, it's not going great, guys. Come on. You know, I talked about Boris Johnson the other day on Friday's show.
I remember that.
It's not looking good. I literally watched this clip on the news of the whole of Parliament, okay, with all the MPs sat in there like school children, their papers in front of them. And it was literally like looking at a scene from a school playground of one person stood in the middle who is being targeted and tons of people stood around them in a circle throwing these comments at them, bullying them, you know, making them feel so small. And I got over it. I felt so sorry for him, but I understand what he's done. You know, he's not left a good impression for the United Kingdom, for Parliament, for the Queen, with being so irresponsible with having these two parties and, you know, all the drinks and the dancing and everything else that was going on when we were told we couldn't socialise. We had to stay indoors, and the Queen was mourning the loss of Prince Philip. Mm. And, you know, there's people sat in hospitals and people let their dying from COVID and their loved ones can't go in and be with them. And, you know, these people in number 10 down the street are having a party. And it's like, really? And the public opinion is, you know, everybody's disgusted with him. So, you know, Parliament, all the MPs were stood there. You're a pathetic excuse for a prime minister. You shouldn't be allowed to carry on. And so he's got a lot of MPs against him at the moment to try and force him out of Parliament and as prime minister. So, you know, it's not looking good for him. But he literally sat there, dear Boris, with his head down, just staring at his paper, I guess, with what he wanted to come back with, while everybody else was ribbing him with all these comments. And, you know, he was shaking his head a few times, but he literally did look like a child being bullied. And I felt so, so sorry for him in that moment, because no one likes that. But he brought himself to that point. That's what Parliament
that
is.
That view is the right
stand
one.
There. Mm-hmm. Yes, they will stand there and they will tell you everything they think and feel about the job you're doing. So what I don't like, and what I mean by the whole childlike situation of it, is this. When a member of Parliament cross an opinion or of some sort, you hear everybody in the background going, hear, hear, and then they even boo. And it's like, really? This is like being in a playground. These people get paid for this.
Wow. Excuse me, I didn't mean to belch, y'all. I apologize.
You know, unreal. I just, United Kingdom of Chaos, or what do you call it?
United Chaos. Yeah,
United
that's
Chaos.
The official title now. Yeah.
We can go on about things here in the States. As we know from our previous shows, I am negative. I had COVID. I no longer have COVID. I am super negative and therefore super immune. And I've also been vaccinated and detoxed and rehabbed and boosted and incubated and elevated and levitated.
I would love to learn that trick. You got to teach me the levitation part.
I was, but the cases of COVID, you know, brain fog is an effect of having COVID, and I'm starting to think I'm over it, but there's some other amazing side effects of having COVID that's not really discussed too much. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Hey, Andy, that's a valid point.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
You're saying that brain fog is a side effect from having COVID, right? But the vaccinations they give you, the stuff in it helps, you know, trigger the immune response, right, in your body. Mm-hmm. But thinking about this, Andy, I've not had COVID itself, but yet have been experiencing brain fog. Now, it makes me wonder if it's something related to the whole vaccination.
It impaired group cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because this has been going on for literally the time that we've had vaccinations brought in. And I've not understood where it's come from, all this brain fog. You know, I'm stood there like waving my arms in front of me like I can't see my way out. And it's like, what's going on? And then when you mentioned about, you know, you get that side effect with COVID, I mean, I know there's people, come on, there's people every day who struggle to remember things. You know, I've been one of them. Yeah.
You sometimes just got to, you know.
Secret is to enjoy it.
Yeah.
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 Sometimes you just got to do that.
Oh, I'm so happy you're in the clear, though. Yeah.
I was in quarantine for more than 10 days. I think about 10 days, 10, 12 days, you know, in my cave.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was all right for a couple of days. Just actually enjoying the space and just being alone, enjoying my alone time, you know, just, you know, hanging out. And just, I was actually enjoying it for a few days. And then after a few days, I was like, And then I went tested like 10 days into it or 9 days or something like that into it. And I got a solid positive again. I'm like, oh, you know, geez, come on. Holy crap. Even though they say you're not contagious anymore after, I don't know, but you still, who knows, you're positive. You want to be careful. So, and then
yeah.
After last positive, I took another test and I was like negative. I was like, woo, dog. Yay.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it must be awful having to be shut away from your loved ones, though, for that amount of time, you know?
Well, you have to.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh.
China?
Oh.
China. 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 China.
We have. You know how every once in a while, actually more than every once in a while, we dive into the entertainment business on the show. And we've had people who produce music. We had people who produce and acted in television shows, even going back to the great 1968 film Oliver, having Mark Lester on board, having a lot of different actors and producers and directors and various levels of the industry on our show. And the cool thing is that there's a television show which is available to watch now, and I've had the incredible pleasure and joy of watching a couple of episodes of a show called, and most of you around, you know, remember, we're reaching 23 countries around the world right now, and therefore I know a lot of our listeners probably never heard of this, but there's a TV show called Certifiable. And if you want to just sit down for some entertainment, some great, just dive into this thing and get some laughs and watch what goes on with some supposed great actors' lives and behind the scenes and all this kind of thing. It is a very enjoyable ride. And the show's called Certifiables. And what we're going to do is we're going to switch the order. Normally we talk about a lot of news and things, what's going on in the world, but what we're going to do is we're going to bring some guests on board who are responsible for it and in and star in and direct and produce the TV show called Certifiables, and you can go to certifiableseries.com to learn more about the show, because I can probably confidently say that many, many of our listeners have never heard of it. And I, before we knew these guests were coming on, which gets scheduled, they say, here's who's coming on the show. We get a whole agenda laid out before us here and, you know, back and forth, and here's the schedule for the week and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, let me check out this show. And I got to tell you, it's what time is it here? It's this afternoon in California, in Hollywood, California, is where I'm at. And I've been spending a lot of the morning just sitting back and had a hard time even getting away from the show to even do this show, to be quite honest with you. That's how good I think it is. So I'd like all of you to check out the website, certifiableseries.com. Check in and look at the show. Because I think I wouldn't steer you wrong, folks. And I'm hoping you know enough about us now that we wouldn't. That most of the things that we say and talk about doing the show, people end up enjoying. And this is definitely going to be on our list of things to enjoy. So that being said, let me see if I hit the right, if I can hit the right buttons here. Wait a minute. Let me see.
I didn't know him when he was at his best.
Well, that's too bad.
Oh, yeah, it is too bad.
Yeah. So, but hold. So we have, I think, Amy and Jen. Let me see if I did this right. Hold on a second. Give me a second. Hello?
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 Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, welcome to the Amy and Andy show.
You're on board.
Thank you.
You are on what we think is a great something. You know, a great presentation of whatever we do here. The Andy Demander Show, and we welcome you guys on board our program. How you doing? Who do we have on? We have Amy and Jen, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I am here, Jen. Jen here.
And I and Amy is also here.
Amy is here. Jen, Andy is here. Amy is here. Jen is here. Amanda is here. Cornell, we're all on board. What a great party. Guys, welcome aboard. I got to tell you something. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you guys on our show. I've been watching what you guys do on your show and your acting reels. And wow, what a breath of fresh air. Seriously, it's great
Thank
to great to have you with us here.
Oh, it really is.
Thank you.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Not as good as Cornell, though. I'm only drinking coffee over here.
I know he's kind of been rubbing it in our faces, really, with that vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hand out the drinks while we're here, then. Everybody sit down on the couch, get comfy. There we go. Let's do this.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's Cornell.
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Maintaining, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Guys, it's been such a pleasure going backwards and forwards with you and finally getting you on the show and speaking to you live like this. And hopefully our listeners really enjoy hearing all about this TV series and everything about you guys, because we want to know about you as well as this show. So which one is going to go first? I think you can decide between yourselves. Jennifer or Amy, which one's it going to be?
I want to ask Jennifer a question.
Okay, go for it.
Makes it
easy for us. Jennifer, when you came up with the series, the show, what was your imagination to create it?
Oh, okay. So when I started, it actually started because Amy and I were g-chatting while at our day jobs, and we both were kind of venting about how there's not really a lot of significant parts for women. So we wanted to do something where we were like the stars and the main focus of our show is just about these women, not about a relationship or a man or anything else, just like about the women.
Yeah.
And then I sort of randomly just had the idea, and it was actually going to be a short.
Yeah.
And then we had to put the short on the shelf for a while because there were some things that came up with production.
Yeah.
And I kind of started continuing to write it into a series. And I would, like, talk to Amy and I'd say, hey, you know, what do you think about this series? And she was like, that's a great idea. And so we would go back and forth with, like, some ideas and some things, like, for the characters. And
yes.
So one time Amy comes back to me and goes, she goes, I see Gabby in a pink wig. And I was like, oh, my God, that is an amazing idea. So, like,
that's
it
cool.
Was kind of like that. And then, so I don't know where in my imagination or why it really came to be the two worlds, but I'm so glad it did because I think it's so fun.
Yeah.
And the possibilities are endless.
As I look at it, it's like it's very vintage. You know, it's like
yeah.
The style, like the 70s and the 80s, like the disco era.
That's a unique take on it. That's a unique take on it.
Yeah, it's
the pink hair?
Huh? Yeah,
That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I still wear pink hair.
Oh, you do?
No.
Oh. Oh, bless. Okay, so knowing that then, certifiables, I mean, has it always been your dream to, you know, create something that's been your baby? I mean, I know you guys have been into acting for a long time now. You're both extremely passionate about it. I've been reading about you both online, doing my research. And, you know, especially Amy, you mentioned on one of your pages how you like to take on projects that really touch the heart, have a meaningful story. And Jen, you love exploring many, many areas of acting, and you're very in depth with the whole creation of the process too. So for you, did it always appear that way for you? Was it something that you wanted to work towards gradually? Was it something that was always there that you wanted to get really stuck in and direct and produce and things like that?
So for Amy or Jen, who is that question for?
Both.
Amy, why don't you go first?
Yeah.
Sure. So
Well, for me, I think that, you know, I've always wanted to be an actor from the time I was a kid, and it was something that I always wanted to do. And I think more recently, I've gotten very interested in trying to create my own work just because I think it comes from wanting to be an actor and not being able to have as much control as an actor.
Right.
So I started working to create new things that I was interested in, stories that I wanted to tell, stories that, you know, just to sort of give you more sense of control, and then also to enable you to do what you love doing, which is acting. So that's for me. That's kind of where I kind of got into things like building my own worlds and creating my own stories.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah,
and, Jen is similar.
Okay.
Yeah, I think definitely agree with a lot of what Amy's saying. I think for me, I always wanted to be an actor, but I never thought it was a possibility ever since I was little. So I actually did a bunch of different like types of artistic things. Like I did like craft shows. I used to make jewelry. I like was kept doing all of these things to try to find something, that creative outlet. And so I just kept trying all of these random hobbies, and I would do craft shows, try to sell stuff. And then one day I kind of, it was after college, I decided, you know, I'm going to just take an acting class. And then I did. And then from there, I started writing because it was like an assignment in the class. And then from there, I was like, let me just make this into a show. And so like me and all my actors in the acting class, we made it into a show. And then it just kind of kept going from there. So I've kind of been creating, like my first production that I, the first production I was ever in was my own. So I kind of have been writing and filming, you know, before I really got as far into the acting. So kind of for me, it was all kind of like at once type of thing.
Beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can get on board with what you're both saying, because I think with any kind of creative outlet, when you've got that creative soul, you know, you kind of want to express yourself in any way possible. Like you saying about the jewelry making, for me, like it's been like graphic design and music. So, you know, I was always trying to find my way with expressing that creativeness and trying to pull that out somehow until I found something that really stuck. I was like, aha, yes, this is me. This is it. This is it. I can let it all out. So I truly respect that, you know, wanting to leave your mark and express who you are, what you're capable of, your dreams and your ideas and things like that. I think it's truly wonderful to see two women forging ahead in the movie industry.
Yes.
You know, with all these creators. I mean, there's so many great, you know, female actors and directors and writers out there, and to see them actually, you know, forge something that is incredible, or, you know, represents women on a certain level, because I'm not getting into the whole feminism kind of thing, but, you know, I think we're at that point in time in history where women are able to have more of an opportunity to do that. And it's inspiring other women, especially young girls who, you know, believe that they can't be something magnificent and have the same kind of opportunities as men do. And so it's beautiful to know that as an actor or a director, writer, author, musician, it doesn't matter who you are, that you're inspiring people younger than yourselves to say, hey, yeah, I can do this. You can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
Absolutely
so
beautiful
books,
thing.
Tell us about the TV show that you guys just done, I think, a great job with in many respects.
Thank you.
How did you – so this is as professionally produced as I've ever seen any show, or right around there anyway. How did you go about doing all this? I mean, you came up with the show. Did you write is it scripted? You write the script as well, and then got people to film it and produce it. And I mean, it's edited very well. It's produced very well. It's top notch. So how did you put all this together?
Yeah.
How's it possible?
So Amy and I produced it together. So we went out. We found the crew. We found the talent. And this is like pretty much no budget. So it was all people that we knew in the industry had to have been passionate about the story. So a lot of the people, the cast, the crew, they all jumped on because they just loved the script. So they were willing to work with us with our no budget. And, you know, I'm very organized. So I had like a very specific schedule and we stuck to it, and the actors were only there for like the time they needed to be there. So I respected that. Like, I respect people's time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think when you're working with something that's such a small budget, you kind of have to just be overly accommodating for anyone working with you, because, you mm-hmm. know, you don't have the money to just pay for the things. And then we do mm-hmm. a lot of it ourselves. So,
incredible.
The editing I did, and Danny Donnelly, who helped us direct season one, helped me with the editing, and Amy helped me, like, kind of just, she always was the one who kind of kept my brain together, and she's doing so for season two as well. But, like, since it's so much, having Amy as my partner in this has just been so helpful, because it's, like, even just to bounce a stressful situation off of, it's just good to have, like, that other person to kind of help you figure it out, because when you're producing mm-hmm. something of this magnitude with no money and only two people who are not only producing it, they are in it, they are, you know, they are doing props, doing the costumes, like, you know, we're doing everything. So, you know,
that's incredible.
We just really work really hard, and we're super passionate about the show, and, you know, we're super collaborative. So Amy has helped me, you know, when I was stuck with ideas, and Amy, you know, has given suggestions that, you know, we went all in on, like I was saying earlier, like the pink wig. So it's just lots of things, you know, it's hard. It's a lot of work. So it's funny because both Amy and I have had people refer to this as a hobby, and it's like, not a hobby, because it's like a job. It's a full-time job, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's a passion for sure. And that's why it came to be is our passion.
Can I ask you a question, guys? Can I ask you a question? Who came up with the fashion for the series?
The dress idea was mine.
Yeah, the fashion, and the outfit, the layout, you know, the pink wig, the clothing, the shoes, the way, you know, the cool look.
The wig was all 100% Amy, and everything that she chose for Gabby, how she's kind of like a real life character come to life. That was all Amy. The gowns were my idea, and I got to give credit to I just wanted the girls, and for whatever reason, I wanted them in prom gowns because I just thought it made it all so much more ridiculous. And I got to give credit to Val McAdoo. She helped us with the set for season one, like that dressing room set.
She really
came through helping us, like, get that decorated the way it was. It was actually just like an empty office, and we turned it into, you know, what you see.
Hey, Val.
Lovely lady.
Val's been on our show, as has Pete. They run the acting, the acting emporium, the actor something.
Co-op. I'm sorry, co-op.
They've both been on our show. And we're involved in a film, right, which we talked a lot about on the show.
Game Day.
Game Day.
Yeah, right?
In the show. Fantastic. I love hearing about all this stuff, especially when you know, you're watching it and you're seeing it, and then you get to speak to you guys about what goes on behind it and the ideas and stuff. I think it's so fascinating for us and our listeners to hear all about it. And
You know what's so crazy? The first time I met Jennifer and everything, I was in a movie called Hollywood, and she's very professional. Mm-hmm. And she's on set and everything. She knows what she's doing, and she take everything. I mean, she's on point with everything. There's nothing personal, but she's strictly business. That's how I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong, Jennifer, but when I was on set, I was like, okay, your time is up. It's time to go, Cornell. I say, all right, bye. But she's very professional when it comes down to her craft. You understand?
Yes.
So, you know, I give her props for that.
Thank you.
I can respect that. That's great. So how far are you looking to take Certifiables? Is this going to be like, have you got like a lot of series planned? What's your plans for this to move forward?
Amy, do you want to talk about what we're doing right now?
We're almost finished
filming season two.
Ooh.
I think we have we have like four more days, right, Jen? We have four more days.
Yeah. Yep.
To that we have planned to shoot, but season two is almost finished filming, and
oh,
it's
wow.
going to be. I think it's going to be fantastic. I know Jen is definitely excited about season two, kind of
yeah.
following Gabby and Lex even further into their antics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love
yeah,
that.
I'll give one hint. One hint to what's to be expected in season two. They get out of the institution. So
okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but they're still in their imagination. So there is a lot of things we get into, which is really cool.
Wow.
Can you guys provide a quick I'm going to bet that most of our audience around the world has never heard of, seen, or knowing about this show that we're talking about so favorably. Can you give a quick synopsis about what one would expect to see on the TV show Certifiables? Tell us the gifts overview of what this thing's about.
Sure. So the tagline itself is it's two actresses who wish they were as famous as they think they are. But to give that a bigger picture, it's about two women. So this is going to give away the whole twist, but I think it's worth it because then the series is so worth watching. So in episode one, there's a twist reveal. You're in the dressing room with these two actresses who are exaggerated or what's the word? I don't know. They're down.
We're very over the top.
That's cool.
Very over the top. We're talking about Instagram and, these silly issues, snacks being stolen, things like that. And then we start to glitch into, this other world. And you think it's just because this guy, the one actor is seeing it, or the one character is seeing it. But really what it is, they're actually in a mental institution. And that is, so the reality of what's happening, I call it's two worlds. It's delirium and real time.
Yeah.
And real time is a mental institution. That's where they really are. But whenever you're in the room with the characters, Gabby and Lex, you are in delirium. So you never actually, the audience is never actually in the room with Gabby and Lex as mental patients. You only ever see them through a monitor or a viewing screen. So that's the cool part. So all of these other characters that are in the delirium, if you see them outside, if you see them without Gabby and Lex, you see them as mental patients. So, I don't know what the correct term is, but it's all fake. So there's no, no real diagnosis. It's not real at all. Everything's super fake. It's all farce. There's no diagnoses. It's all fun, right? And so we've just created this fun world for these women who are in, not the best circumstances. So all of the characters who are in not the best circumstances are creating these, fantastic circumstances for themselves to live in.
That is so unique. I love it.
I would just too jump in to say that even the thing that the real world that we're deeming real world is also a farcical world too, because we have we have evil doctors and spy type situation. It is just ridiculous no matter where you are. That's the idea.
It keeps you entertained though. That's the fun part. I love things like that.
It's a very well done show, folks. It really is.
Yeah.
Is this something that you would hope to shop to an ABC or a Netflix or somebody down the road, or is this because right now it's streamed on Amazon? I mean, it's on Amazon and it's a couple bucks, whatever, folks. It's well worth it. Believe me, I wouldn't say you're wrong. How did you get it on Amazon? I mean, this is phenomenal what you guys have done. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we did. We distributed it. It's all self-distributed, so it was all applications to the different services and seeing if they'll pick us up or not. We're also on Tubi TV as well. We're on a network called IFP Network. We also are on Zuzu, which I think is a Canadian streaming network. Vimeo as well. So there's a lot of different places you can watch us. If you go to our website, you can see all the options. Because if anyone subscribes to any of these other networks, I feel like, you know, some of them, like, for instance, Tubi TV, it's free on Tubi TV to watch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, that's like an ad-based platform. But, yeah, so, you know, we took our time. We cut together a good series, and then we applied and got put on these networks. As far as larger networks, we talked about it in the beginning stages before, you know, I decided to self-distribute. But our biggest concern was, you know, as soon as I started talking about it with these other things, it was like things they wanted to change. And then they wanted to bring in a name. And there was other things that it just, for us, it kind of didn't make sense. Because, like, the whole purpose of us doing this is because we want to make something that we love. We don't want it to be taken and then changed.
If
somebody wants to buy the series as it is and, like, pay for us to do our second and third season, then, you know, or multiple seasons, we're all in. But, you know, our concern was we just didn't want to change anything.
Yeah.
We don't want to be recast. We didn't want to lose anybody. Like, it just was one of those things, because as soon as you, you know, if you sell a pilot, it's not going to be your pilot anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can totally appreciate that. Absolutely.
Well, I have a question for Amy. Amy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hey, what's up? Thank you for coming on the show.
Happy to be here.
Awesome. Who are some of your, you know, role models in the film business? You know, actress or actors, or, you know, who's some of your role models?
Like mine, Cornell is the robot in Lost in Space. Know what I mean?
Hey, if this works, my guy is Ozzy Osbourne, but don't pay me no mind with that.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say mine's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, right.
Wonder Woman.
Over
to you, Amy.
Oh, so I am.
And it could be a guy.
So
it could be a woman. It could be a robot.
Robot.
Oh dear.
Some of my favorite actors. I like Charlize Theron is one of my favorites, and Jessica Chastain another favorite. Gosh, those are two big ones that I like to kind of, you know, like put on the spot. Those two people I admire. I really love what's going on with, like, Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and all of these women who are kind of just starting their own production companies. I really like, those are the people I admire and, like, who I would like to emulate. Like, just sort of creating content with, like, look, kind of like what I'm doing now, but maybe on a larger scale. Like, those are the people that I really admire.
I'm with you on that, actually. I like Drew Barrymore as well. She's doing some wonderful things.
Great.
Bless her. Yeah.
Jennifer, are you still there? What is your favorite drink?
My favorite drink?
Yes.
It's actually Tito's and club soda. I was like, yes, I love Cheetos. That and red wine. Those are my two favorite drinks.
Awesome. You and me both, kiddo. Great answer. We did not pay her for that, folks. You said Cheetos.
No, we didn't.
We did not tell her to.
It just wasn't.
I'm more of a simple girl. I kind of like sipping on a beer, but I, you know, my favorite was Corona, and then when the coronavirus popped up, the stock kind of went funny in our stores, and people were looking at me strange when I was buying it. I was like, really? Just a beer? Nah. I'm not gonna catch anything from it.
Definitely. Amy, I'm gonna ask you the same question. What is your favorite drink?
That's a tricky one.
Mm.
I think I probably like a gin and tonic. Maybe a glass of wine. Like red wine, too. Red wine, too. Gin and tonic or red wine. That's me.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I guess they say, like, okay, do you have anything to do with this show? Why are you asking me about drinks?
It's a good get-to-know-you question.
I think you should write into your show these two in their minds, celebrity actresses get an interview on the Andy and Amanda Show.
That would be great. Yeah.
You want us to come in? You want us to come in character next time?
In character,
yes.
That would be amazing. Think about
that.
It
would be amazing.
We've actually done something like that. We actually have a spinoff series that's going to be on YouTube. It's called This Is Showbiz, and it is Gabby and Lex. Gabby and Lex interviewing local actors, like local Philadelphia actors, as themselves. But Gabby and Lex are Gabby and Lex interviewing these people. It's quite fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
That's fun. Oh, I love stuff like that. It's so creative. It really is. I mean, I've had discussions with like people I know about, you know, movies and TV shows and stuff. And I guess it's the same with music. It feels like it's got to a point where like movie endings have become so predictable. And I noticed like this trend that Netflix was doing. We've mentioned this on a previous show where they were really like changing up the end and left you hanging with, oh, so that's it. You're not going to tell us how it actually ends. You've got to guess for yourself. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, I'll see what they're doing here. Kind of a new way of filming. And it got me all frustrated. I was like, what's happening? But I could see what they were trying to do, and it was just different. And I think, you know, with TV series as well, people are always saying, oh, they just don't make them like they used to, or they're just not finding as many original ideas. And I think it's hard when so many things have been covered and been done to find actually something original. But when you find that you imprint yourself onto something, it can be the same kind of similar story as somebody else's. But when you imprint yourself onto it, it then becomes unique. And it has its own spin, and then it can be something absolutely incredible. And it sounds like with what you've done with Certifiables, and from what we've seen, you've done that. You've achieved that with it. And from where it's going, from what you've explained, it sounds like it's heading in that direction as well. And I think that's absolutely incredible. Because it's just not easy, is it, to put an idea out there and say, look, this. What do you think of this? Mm-hmm. You know, do this. Can we make this? And you probably get a number of people say, well, actually, you know, oh, somebody's just done this and somebody's done that. And no, I don't think it's worthy enough unless you do this to it. And it's like, well, really? But I don't know. I mean, that's just my view. I've never acted. Mm-hmm. I've never been in the movie industry. You, all of you, Andy, Cornell, and you guys know more than I do. I'm just the
I don't know anything. I just know Tito's not.
It's beautiful to see this Certifiable so fun and different. And I really, really hope to see it, you know, get all the credit and attention it deserves, because it's just so fun. You only have to look at your webpage for a start. I had so much fun checking that out before I saw anything else. I got on there, I was like, this is so cool.
I love the
fact. Just looking at your characters, you know, the way that the webpage has been done. I was totally captivated. And I wanted to know more about the show. So that was a great starting point. You girls have done so well with that.
Yes.
So, you know, pat yourselves on the back.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, I just got a text. I just got a text from one of our listeners. They asked me a question. Are you ladies single?
Oh.
No. Lex and Gabby are very single, but yeah, Lex and Gabby are. Lex and Gabby are very single.
Okay.
Oh, bless.
Well, I would just put the guy, the tycoon, back.
We just had one of our famous technical glitches, but I'm back.
I thought it was silent from you, Andy. That's unusual.
Yeah. they cut me out of the show all the time. You know, I'm always
sorry,
being blanked out of the show.
Oh,
we cannot figure out.
Very sorry.
No respect. None.
I know.
None.
Well,
none.
Before you left, we was asking, you know, got a text from a listener asking, are you single?
Oh, are you guys single?
No, that was probably me.
No.
Oh, you girls, I had a funny thing on Messenger the other day. I got to share this with you. I shared it with the boys on one of the other shows. So I get this message, I wake up, I check my phone, and there's this message from this guy
saying that he wants me to be his sugar baby and pay for all my bills, put $5,000 into my PayPal account every month. I just literally started laughing so much when I saw that. But I thought, I wonder how many women actually fall for this and give their PayPal details to these guys.
Damn,
you know,
I'm
thinking
sorry.
That these guys are going to pay for
it. I'm sorry. It was me. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, Cornell.
I don't want to be your sugar baby. I want to be your sugar baby.
Oh, you're sweet enough, darling. You're sweet enough.
No. Pause.
Oh, dear. What's the world coming to? I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, man, this has been so much fun, though.
I have a production question regarding your Certified Hour show. How did you – is this a one-camera shoot, a two-camera shoot? Who's doing the actual filming of the TV show?
It's one camera. Season one, Jay Miller did our cinematography, and season two, which we're filming now, Danny Donnelly is doing our cinematography.
They're doing a great job.
Still one camera. Yeah, we're taking everything up a notch for season two, so it's pretty exciting what we have in store for everyone.
It's interesting. I know. So I was involved in doing a TV show that when I was back in, I'm in just outside of Hollywood, California right now. When I was in Philadelphia, I was there doing a movie called, Creed. I think it was 2016-ish or something, 15, 16. And then got involved in producing an episodic about the experience of the acting industry is seen through the eyes of emerging actors and how they get started and so forth. So it was a real fun deal. We have some 167 video clips or something, and hopefully that'll all come out to fruition someday. But anyway, we started with one camera, and there was a storyline, but no real script. And I think that was probably, if I had to do it again, I probably would have had more of a script because the characters who were brought on to do the show were not only brought on to do the characters, but also those who were brought on who could develop their characters as though it was scripted. In other words, here's the character, here's the storyline, here's what happens in the scene, make it happen. Okay. All right. That's something you like to do in acting school, isn't it? I'm like, well, this is a real deal, you know. It was tough, but it worked. And the cool thing was, and kudos to the city of Philadelphia, we were given the entire 10th floor of the Bourse Building as our executive offices for a fake company, which we created as a real world company called Casting Associates, and it was a management acting agency that existed in the real world, but was fake. It was just designed as an acting agency that people could identify with, but it was really created for the television show, but it was a real world company too, but it really wasn't real. But what a fun deal. And I just got to meet while in Philadelphia in the acting, you know, because I've done acting work here in LA, but I got to meet so many great, talented, committed people who were the utmost of just like, you know, commitment, dedication and bright and creative and full of integrity and just some really – there's some great talent in the city of brotherly love. Unfortunately, I can't say the same thing about the football team, but that's another episode.
Yeah. Game day, right?
No, but I think you're correct. There's a lot of very, very talented actors, actresses, writers, directors, cinematographers in Philadelphia, and they're definitely underutilized because we have a lot of talent here.
Yep. Remember they used to have these, I don't still have them, but I forget who did this, the Screen Actors Guild or free, I forget, an organization, you might know more about this than I do at this point, I'm going back to 2016-ish, there was an organization, it may have been SAG, that did quarterly, maybe monthly, I forget, get-togethers at places like Ben and Jerry's, not Ben and Jerry's,
Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's. Dave and Buster's. Not Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's is ice cream, right?
Yes, yeah, they did Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did get togethers, and all and folks from all aspects of the industry would show up, and I remember showing up. I was told about it anytime I was missing, you know, big heavy duty production and hiring actors and put this whole thing together. And Chickies and Peace came on and catered all the sets, or whether we did it at Chickies and Peace or off location. They catered everything we did. It was just amazing how many people contributed, bowling alleys and office spaces and law offices and all of these different folks that got involved in this show to contribute whatever they could. It was pretty cool. So then I heard about this get-together because some members of our team were going to this thing after a shoot one day. And they said, Andy, why don't you come to this, whatever it was? Because I had nothing to do with the acting industry in Philadelphia. You know, I came from L.A., and I what the hell? So I showed up, and one of the folks at the podium said, there's Andy Kimball, and he's doing the show. Andy, why don't you come on up and say a few words? And I'm like, okay. Sing with me. People's King of G. Kumbaya, my Lord. We figured, you know, you can, and I learned this in L.A. That there's a whole lot of actors want to be. You know, and first of all, noting that 5%, about 5% of the population of SAG, which is Screen Actors Guild, that's the Professional Actors Union, folks, 5% mm-hmm. of the members of SAG make their living acting, maybe even less, right? So there's a whole lot of mm-hmm. members that get acting gigs, they audition, they get a part, they don't get a part, they do something, they don't do something, and everything in between. But in terms of being able to make an income where you can pay your bills and raise your kids and do all the things you're supposed to do while making a living, to do that as an actor is a very difficult cast. And there are very few people compared to the whole population of actors that actually get to say, I do that. My paycheck is 100% derived from being me as an actor. You know, it's a tough deal. But so what I did is being in L.A., and I'd done like 20-some productions in L.A. at that time, and realizing being on set of TV shows, that when you look behind the camera of shows like New Girl, of shows like American Horror Story, of shows like Criminal Minds, Silicon Valley, and you look behind the camera at 100 and some odd technical support people that are all getting paychecks, good paychecks, to do what they do and to be where they are in their lives. And I remember sitting there one time, I was on the set, I think it was Silicon Valley or New York, I forget which one. I think it was Silicon Valley. With my foot up against the wall, we were between takes, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm just looking behind the cameras at all the people. It was amazing how many people. And I said to myself, because at that time, I'm not a big fan of TV. To this day, I'm not a big fan of TV. I think 70% of what you see on there is a bunch of, I don't even know how it gets on the air. But your show's an exception, guys. So I think you've got a great thing going. We can talk about that later. But anyway.
Great stairs.
Yeah, you got a great show. But anyway, and I'm saying that seriously, objectively. But when I look behind the camera and I saw all these people and I told myself, that you know what? The cameras are pointed the wrong way. How many people in Podunkville, Iowa, in Nebraska, in the South, all over the United States, have dinner and they say, hey, what do? They turn on the TV and they watch whatever they watch. And how many wonder, how do all these people get to do this? Who are they? How do you get to do this? And I figured, well, there's two things we can do. Because I'm all about giving back. That's all I'm all about that. We can either start a school and teach people how you do that, or we can teach people how you do that via an episodic. Inherently within the industry, we're going to show you what it's like and how it really happens in a comedic TV series, but it's really based on reality as to what really goes on. Yeah. And so I came to Philadelphia and met a bunch of people via the show staff at the movie Creed and other things and put together this show called Casting and came back to California. I haven't done a thing with it since. But anyway, the talent and it was just amazing. So I remember getting up in front of the podium at this meeting, as I was saying before, and they say, Andy Kimball's here. Hey, why aren't you doing this TV show here in Philadelphia? This guy's from L.A., folks. He's doing a show here in Philly. And I'm like, I didn't prepare anything. I don't know anybody here. But you know what? Okay, I'll get up, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Well, who am I, right? So, but I just remember this, that you can wait around for the phone to ring. You can join Actors Access for $68 a year and submit to your heart's content to get an audition or LA casting or backstage, whatever you choose. I think Actors Access is probably the way to go. And maybe LA casting. But anyway, you can either do that or do what Amy and Jen have done, which is absolutely incredible, and said, you know what?
Right.
We're not going to wait for the phone to ring. We're not going to sit here and just wait for auditions to happen. We're going to sit here, and we're going to create a project and bring people into our show who are out there
independent,
waiting for the phone ring, waiting for that opportunity. We're going to create the opportunity right here, right now. And they've done an amazing job with a great TV show. That's all I can say about it. I think you guys have done, you know, you've hit the ball over the fence. I think you've got a lot of potential to do what you're doing. And I could say that, I mean, I am in L.A. I'm an active in the industry. I know what's going on here. And speaking from L.A. to you guys in Philadelphia, I think you're doing a great job.
Excellent job.
All the best to you.
I'm going to give y'all a hand clap on this.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
I'll raise my glass of water.
Yes. Amy, you kind of quiet.
Yes.
Amy, talk to me.
Yeah. No,
you're kind of quiet.
I'm here. I'm listening.
We heard from Jennifer, a very professional person. Let's hear from you. Tell us about you. What's your background?
My background, I'm an actor and a writer, and I also do some training as my sort of like.
Are you kind of shy, Amy?
I am a little shy. I guess
don't
I just wanted to like.
Don't be shy. Be yourself.
I am myself sometimes. Is a little shy.
Come on, Amy.
No.
Back to what you were saying. I'm sorry.
No, I'm a writer. I'm an actor, and also I have other projects that I'm doing that Jen is heavily involved in. I think it's
awesome.
Really interesting how just talking about. I think Amanda, you were mentioning like just the something about like people just. And also to Andy, just waiting for things to happen. And then also all of the times people tell you that you can't do something.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Jen and I kind of have this relationship where like we talk to each other a lot about everything we're doing. So certifiable, her and I are in constant communication about that, about shoot dates, about how we're going to get things done. If we lose a location, which happens all the time, we're trying to figure out how we're going to get a new one. And I also like, and that's all goes with my projects too. Like I wrote a short film and then I wrote a feature film and Jen was involved in both of those. She was acting and she does some like production work for me on all of the things that I do. And I think like that's a big thing when you find people that you can consistently be creative with. Like, that's kind of one of those things that I think, Amanda, you were like, getting at when you were saying all these people are telling you no, or all these people are telling you why this isn't going to work, or all these people are complaining about, you know, we don't have the resources to do this.
Yeah.
And like Jen and I have a group of people that we create with that no one ever said that. Like we acknowledge that we're going to have problems with money, problems with location, problems that, you know, we're just going to have to figure out.
That's just excuses for people that just don't want to deal with you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to figure out what you got to do. So fuck them, okay? We say it on the radio. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what I found intriguing. And this is what I thought was pretty cool. That, you know, being, you know, we created a show. It was actually created in L.A. And then we came to Philadelphia. I was involved in the movie Creed and some other things in Philly and saw an opportunity to work with people who not only have never been in front of the camera, I don't think they've ever been next to one. And that's who we wanted. I want somebody who's never been next to a camera. I don't want to catapult. The hell? But here's the funny thing. This is funny. So we started doing breakdowns. And a breakdown, folks, is when you have the sides. The sides are the environment. How does the show take place? Where does the scene take place? What is the script? right? So you send sides out to actors who want to audition for particular parts. They're called sides, right? So so we created sides for the show casting, and I played a character in the show that had a live-in, very artsy, kind of creative, flannel shirt, you know, sculpted, painted. She's also a manager at Chickies and Pete's restaurant, but she's very creative type. And the character that we needed was my live-in girlfriend in the show. So we put out the breakdowns for, we needed to find who that girl was going to be. And I had about 195 submissions from women who wanted to be my live-in girlfriend. And I'm like, the hell with real life. This is better. You know, whoa, wait. And we somehow got to incorporate this into the show. Like, this is you know, you can't go ahead and put something out and get 195 women that want to live with you in the real world.
No. Only I can. No, I'm just joking.
But what an environment. You know, it's just the whole experience of what you guys are doing is it's just another world.
There's one thing Amy said that I really just wanted to stand on when she was talking about the creating our own opportunities and how we've developed this group of creatives, and the one thing I must note about the group is that we're all incredibly passionate and dedicated. And I think that's one thing that people don't realize, because Amy and I will get like random people reaching out to us saying, oh, you know, you're so lucky you get to do this. Like, I just wish I had time, or I wish I had money, or I wish I had this, and then I could do it too. And, you know, the one thing I always want to say back to people is like, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Like,
Jennifer,
you know, I work,
yeah.
You know,
Jennifer,
we all work
them.
All the time.
Fuck them, Jennifer. Fuck them. They have excuses because they don't want to do it. So they bullshitting you. So y'all doing the right thing. Now everybody want to jump on your back. And get some, but where was you guys at when we started it? You know?
Yeah. It's hard work. I mean, regardless, you know, anybody can do it if you're willing to literally, like, devote your whole life. Like, I gave up a personal life for this. You know, like, we all just, like, put so much of our time in it. Becomes, you know, our personal life. And, like, you know, my closest friends now are the friends that I create with. Like, Amy's one of my closest friends in the world. So it's, like, these are the you know, you kind of – and that's what you think about the relationships. It's just, like, you build these relationships, and then it ends up being, like, magical almost, because you just get to not only have fun and, you know, hang out with somebody else, you get to play with them and create and build stuff. Like you know, Amy and I are building our own mini film directory or gallery or whatever you want to call it between the two of us.
That's incredible.
And we're very and collaborative and open to others, like, just suggestions. It's almost like kind of like being in improv, Jen. You know, we're in a group of people who someone has a crazy idea and everyone looks at you and go, yeah, we could figure out how to do that. I think we could do that, you know?
Yeah. But I love how beautiful that is. I love how beautiful that is, really. I mean, you know, a lot of people who come back with, you know, I haven't got the time and I haven't got the money, they're literally placing that block right in front of them, aren't they? Straight away, they're giving up before they've even tried. They think they failed before they've even tried. And when you're truly passionate about something, you'll just try and find a way and to just throw caution to the wind and say, look, I'm going to try and do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But I'm going to try. I'm going to ask these people, do these things, and just throw yourself into it and see how far it can go. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a leap of faith, don't you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You've got
the
whole world that will stand there and say, no, you can't do this. And you have to stand there and answer back, yes, I can.
Right. We had a little technical issues with Andy and everything. He wanted to say that he apologized.
And
situation occurred on his the internet, but it's okay. And he just he's gone. But Tito's vodka. What I wanted to say, Amy, continue on your conversation. We still on air. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Y'all got the right dude. I'm like, I'm fucking like Jimi Hendrix now. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, cool. Yeah. But yeah, what you were saying, girls, I mean, it's absolutely true. And I love hearing this from both of you because it's so inspiring, not only for everybody else listening, but for myself. You know, I'm just like everybody else. I have my insecurities and fears about trying new things and following through with my ideas and projects that I have. And, you know, us three running this show, it's been an incredible experience. And we've tried so many wonderful things to put into it. We pour our hearts into it every single time. And we really love what we do. And we haven't given up on it. And we've had a lot of people say, I don't think it's going to go far. You know, what's that show, really? And it's like, well, yeah. Everybody loves, whoever comes onto the show really enjoys coming on and hanging out with us. And for that, we are truly, truly grateful. Because we love connecting with people like yourselves.
Yeah.
Even, you know, the people on the streets. We love connecting with people, helping people, inspiring people, and expressing, you know, what goes on in our minds, our hearts, what's going on in the world, and things like this. So we can, as a collective, Andy, myself, and Cornell can totally relate to what you girls are doing with, you know,
yes,
what you're doing.
And the thing about it is, guys, a lot of people don't know I'm a very humble person. You know what I mean? I'm not a Hollywood type of person. I dealt with a lot of people in the industry and, you know, a lot of situations occur in my life and all that stuff. But what I'm trying to say is basically, man, keep going far. And y'all going to do it, man, because I like the show, man. I mean, I like the fashion. I love the show and I love the look. So, you know.
Wait till season two. The fashion takes it up. We take it up a notch with our dresses. They're even more fun.
Yeah, that's what I like. No,
yep. We got it. Season two is just awesome.
I mean, y'all looking very beautiful looking women and, you know, it's sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, come now. Ooh. That's a beautiful compliment.
And it's not the Tito's vodka.
It's not vodka, no.
But
genuinely.
We truly appreciate you guys coming on the show and everything. And
absolutely.
You guys are family, and please, you know, keep in touch. Oh, hold it. Amy, you didn't finish your conversation.
I didn't.
Oh,
no,
actually,
you was talking about how, you know, the situations with the, you know, people not, you know, doubting you, whatever.
Yeah, I just just tying into the fact that, like, there's a lot of people telling you, oh, you're not going to be able to do this, or you're not going to be able to accomplish that. And I feel like the group that, you know, Jen and I and the group of people that we work with just kind of, or just ignore that and just make it anyway. Like, whatever we want to do, we're going to do the best we can.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully people
will
enjoy
it. There's no hope. There's no hope.
Right.
Hope, you don't put that on the universe. Hope is just hope. You doing it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You guys got awards for the show. So, you know, there's
hope. I think we've realized that it's not, you know, it's never going to be perfect, and it's, you know, it's going to be what we can do to the best that we can do it, and it's hard, and people
not doing
know,
it, though.
Like to, people like to try to stop.
I mean,
we're gonna,
but you know, you guys doing a great job, man. That's why we was like, are you coming on the show? Because, I mean, come on,
yeah.
I got a story to tell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you just keep working hard and don't give up.
Yeah. Come on, man. Producers, directors. Stop being humble for these people, man. You know, everybody want to be humble. There's nothing wrong with humble. Stop being humble for these people, man. Because when you be humble for people will shit on you. You know what I'm saying? So be who you are. You're directors, producers. Act like a producer and a director, but stay humble.
Stay humble. Don't be humble, but be humble.
Yes.
Oh, you mean don't be humble towards those people, is what you're saying?
Yes,
like, don't take any crap from them. Yeah.
Sometimes we in the way with our damn selves because we be humble. Oh, no, I don't want nobody to know my business. No, I'm a fucking director. I'm a producer. I'm a creator. I'm an executive producer. Let these people know.
Right.
It's,
I mean, 2022. Some people aren't going to like it. We know some people aren't going to like it, but it's for the people who do like it, you know, and that's
exactly
what we focus on. It's, If people like it, that's great. We're happy. If they don't like it, oh well, we're gonna do
the
it.
More, the more the people that don't like it, they're haters. So my thing is, I'd rather have the people that spread the word and all that stuff, the haters and all the stuff that they don't like the show and all that stuff. Good. Thank you. At least you watched it.
Yeah. But that's a beautiful attitude to have, isn't it?
Yeah. Whenever someone says something bad about Certifiable, we're like, well, thanks for watching. Yeah, and you're like, at least they watched.
Yeah, right. At least you watched
it. Cool, they
watched. People hating on me because I like Star Wars.
But you know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is that those people who hate on you will actually end up watching more of your episodes, even though hate it and they bitch about it. They still end up watching it. And it's like, why?
Yes.
If you dislike it so much, why back away from it and continue?
Because they're not in it.
Yeah.
I say thank you. I'm always like, thanks for watching. Cool. Like, I'm sorry you didn't like it, but I appreciate you watching. Like, be positive about it, you know? Like,
yeah.
So be it, right? You know, don't worry.
And you have
about
to go into it, don't you? You have to go into it the mental attitude of you're always going to have people who dislike whatever you do in life. Doesn't matter if it's a project, work, you know. Your love life, the list goes on. There's always going to be somebody who disapproves of something.
Yeah.
And I think it's always a healthy attitude and thing to carry with you is not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to like what you do.
Yep.
But, hey, just keep doing you and, you know, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, you have to tolerate the rejection.
Because
if you can't tolerate rejection, you can't do this.
Yeah. Oh, well, fuck them.
You know.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true.
Put the middle finger up at them. Fuck them.
I don't even give them that
one today.
No energy. It's like, thanks.
Yeah, oh, well. Yeah, you couldn't do what I do, so fuck you.
That's you.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Cornell, that's my energy. I'm a quiet one, but I'm also, that's my energy. So thank you.
Come on,
and then I'm like, fuck you.
That's what I'm middle fingers up. Fuck them.
That's isn't there a song that says something like "I love you, but fuck you" or something like that?
Yeah, fuck you, take that. I'm taking this guy's double this shit, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we don't want to hold you guys. We truly appreciate you guys for coming on the show.
Absolutely, my
love
darling.
You guys,
always
Hollywood. Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time out and for even wanting to be on this show because we are truly honored here at the Andy and Amanda Show. Yeah. And
we
welcome
crazy,
you.
But fuck it.
Yeah, we welcome you to come back at any point and express about future projects or more stuff about Certifiables because we would love to hear about that and anything else that you want to share with us. If you just have to do that, we truly appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having us. And I just one more plug if you want to learn more about our show. The site is certifiablesteries.com, and you can pretty much find anything you want there. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yep. Thank you for that. Is there any other links that you want guys to check out? Any social media of yours that people can follow you?
I mean, I'm at jennifer.n.k on Instagram and jennifermk.com. So pretty much all my social media is on my website if anybody wants to check it out.
You're adoring fans.
Yeah.
All right, my lovely ladies. Well, we truly appreciate
you. What about Amy's?
Oh, yes.
Amy's going to drop hers real quick.
Hey guys. Andy said, thanks for coming on the show. He apologized and everything. And he said, fuck the
haters. Thanks, Andy.
So, Amy, your details, my darling. What would you like to share?
I'm on Instagram at AmyTeresa01, and you could follow me there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Well, to all our listeners, thank you for joining us for another Magic Monday. I like that. I like the sound of that, Magic Monday. What a great way to start the week. And we thank Jennifer and Amy, Cornell, and Andy, my darling, my internet hubby who's vanished up his own.
Hey guys, Andy's on the phone right now. Say something, Andy.
Oh, say, can you see? Guys, so we had some big technical difficulties here in LA. We've been having them for the last few days, but thanks for joining us. If you can hear me, and we'll be in touch for sure. and have you back on when we're technically capable of doing so.
Absolutely. That'd be wonderful. Okay, my lovelies. Well, thank you so much. We hope you have a great week, and we look forward to hearing more about certifiable. I've been on the water, not the vodka, by the way.
Sis, I think they say this is the wildest fucking show we have been on, and they can come
I
back.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much. Thank you so much to our listeners for joining us, and we hope you have a great week also. We are now ending the show. It's been absolutely fire. And we hope you join us again on Wednesday for another amazing show, and who knows what's going on and what we're going to talk about, you know, the usual. But join us then, and on behalf of Andy Campbell from California Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, and Cornell Butler from Delaware. And thank you so much to Jennifer and Amy for joining us again, and we will see you on Wednesday. Take care, everybody, and keep smiling and do your own thing.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, thank you. Bye,
You're welcome. Bye, darling. Bye.